in now.
Hi, Gerald. This is LG and Frieda finding time to tape the questions you asked me regarding the year of 1944 when I played in the Eastern League and Rip Collins was my manager. Regarding my playing and how I got started in baseball, I come from a small town of Dyser, Pennsylvania. As you say, you cannot find it on the map. It was located more in central Pennsylvania, about 100 miles away from Pittsburgh, and approximately 15 miles away from Altoona. So I hope that gives you some type of bearing where Dyser is. It's just a small community with about 200, 250 people. I played my first year of baseball in the league where Johnstown was involved and Butler, and so our traveling was not too far from each town, but it was done by buses or by station wagons, or traveled mostly by station wagons or personal cars. As far as seeing any professional baseball games when I was growing up, I did not go to Pittsburgh to see the Pirates, but I listened to them on the radio, and I would enjoy listening to Rosie Rosewell, the announcer, announcing all the Pittsburgh home games or away games. My minor league career started in 1941 after I got out of the service, and I played at All City. 1941 and 1942, which I had good years. I led the club there, I think, in hitting both years. I hit around 330, 338 each year. And then I jumped from the D-ball. I was supposed to have been sold to Hutchinson, Kansas, but then Hutchinson, Kansas, in turn, sold my contract to Albany, New York, A-ball. And that was the 3 years that I played minor league ball before going to the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1944. As you know, Rip Collins was my manager with the Albany Senators. And that year I hit 330 with Albany also, and sort of had a good year, I guess, there, because I set a league record in triples. I think it still stands, and I think I had 51 stolen bases, so I had a pretty good year before moving up to the Pirates at the tail end of 1944. You know, Gerald, it's really hard to recall just about everything that happened when I was playing back in 1944, but some of the ball players that were on the Albany Senators, we had a young boy by the name of Bill Rogers, who played a lot of first base and played the outfield along with myself in the outfield. We had Vic Barnhart on third, and a little boy by the name of Lewis, and I think it played second base. And we also had we had Renna catching, Gilmore pitching, Clemens pitching, and Jack Mayhew in the outfield, and Rip Collins, as you know, was our manager, and also played a lot of baseball and had a great year that year. Albany is a great town and still is a great town. I just visited Albany not too long ago. Tom McCaffrey, who was our owner at the time, he would do anything for his baseball players, and he enjoyed baseball. It's a small town, small ballpark, and we drew quite a few people from different places. There's other small towns near Albany, and we played in Hartford. And Dale Bezanet was the manager of Hartford, and Dale was a great guy who used to always say, "Save your money, because baseball never." Is what you expect it to be, because you're here today and you're going tomorrow in baseball, which is the truth. You know, you can have a good year to 1 year, and next year you're either sold, traded, or you're hurt, and who knows what's going to happen to you. We also played in, I think it was Utica and Scranton, Pennsylvania, the coal mining town, and we got to see a little bit of Pennsylvania and New York. The towns were all baseball-oriented because you didn't have the TV coverage, and people enjoyed coming out to the ballpark to see us play. I enjoyed playing very much in, back in 1944. It was a thing that you had to fight for your job. Nobody handed you a job. You didn't have the big money, and nobody signed you for a big bonus, and so your job was never secured. You had to fight for it year after year. When we traveled into Wilkes-Barre and played, the team in Wilkes-Barre had, I think it had about 9 Cuban baseball players on the team at that time. And if they started a Cuban pitcher, well, they had to start a Cuban catcher, because they used to talk to each other. Instead of giving signs with their hands, most of the time they would talk. Well, I could understand some of the things they were saying, because being of Italian descent, I understood a lot of their signs that they were talking to each other, and I knew when the curveball was coming a lot of times, or the fastball. The Cuban ball players were sort of funny. They couldn't speak too much English, and I understood every time they'd go to eat, they learned to say ham and eggs, and every meal they'd go to every time they went to a restaurant, and every meal while they'd order ham and eggs, that's about all they could say. When they were out at the ballpark, they could say hot dog, and every time you seen these young Cuban ball players, they all had a hot dog in their hand. getting back to the baseball of 1944, regarding my hitting 28 triples and having a one or two inside the park home runs, I would always go for the extra base. I felt that I could force somebody to throw to the wrong man, or force an outfielder to hurry his throw, or and make the throw high or something, and still beat the play in the third or the second. Rip Collins would let me go on my own when it comes to stealing bases, because at that time I used to be able to run 10 flat in a baseball uniform. So I did. I think I ended up with 51 stolen bases that year. Rip Collins, our manager, was one of the greatest of all baseball players and managers I've ever played for or played with. Rip would always come out, and you always knew whether he was going to play or not. You didn't even have to look at the lineup. If Rip came out and had a cigar in his mouth walking out to the dugout, well, you knew Rip was not going to play that day, that Bill Rogers would be on first base. Rip, I don't ever remember Rip ever balling a ball player out. He would bring you over in the corner of the dugout, or call you over to the side, or after the game, or wait till the next day and put his arm around you like a father, and explain to you if you did something wrong. He really helped all the young ball players. I never heard anybody say a bad thing regarding Rip Collins. As a ball player, as a manager, as a first-class citizen, he was loved by everybody. He was loved by his ball players and well-respected. We need more Rip Collinses in baseball today. He was just one hell of a great man. He treated me like I was his son. That's why everybody respected him. He treated most of the ball players as if they were part of him. he could see no wrong in any of the ball players. He just thought everybody were great, and everybody went out and played to the fullest. They gave him 110% every time, because they, as you know, 1944 was a war year, and transportation, we traveled in station wagons, cars, any way we could get to the ballpark, or we traveled in bus. There was no set transportation. Some teams traveled with a bus, some teams traveled with station wagons, but we got around from town to town, and the transportation was not limited. We were able to get our gas and do what most everybody did regarding traveling. And as far as our team, it was made up with a lot of young ball players. As I mentioned earlier, we had, I think the oldest ball players on the team was Tony Renna, a catcher, and Bill Clemens, a pitcher. Most of the other ball players were younger ball players, like I said, Vic Barnhart and Bill Rogers and Gilmore and myself. And in fact, the four of us at the end of 1944 moved up to the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, it's hard even to recall all the ball players you played with, because like I played 16 years of baseball, and so it's hard to recall what happened completely in 1944. And remembering the ball players that you played with on the team of 1944, the Albany Senators, I can't recall them all, but I do remember a few other ball players. I remember Del Bezanet very well. Del was the manager of Hartford, and I do remember Vinnie Shoup, and we used to talk quite a bit and make fun of Shoup, and his, I think, if I remember right, he was from Boston or someplace, and we used to tease him about his accent. Talking about Del Bezanet and the Hartford team, I believe in 1944 is when they had the fire that I think it was Barnum and Bailey Circus had a fire at the big tent, and I think it claimed about 150 lives. That was a very sad thing that happened in 1944, that I recall. Being able to play with all these ball players, it's hard to recall names and special things that happened back in 1944. Remember all the ball, trying to remember ball players that went to the big leagues, and ball players that did make it, and ball players that couldn't make it, that should have made it, and just hard to recall all those names. But as far as hitting, I hit most pitchers pretty well, because I did hit 330 that year, and I hit 338 and 328 or 330 in Class D ball. So hitting, I did quite well hitting. But the toughest pitcher that I ever faced in baseball was Yul Blackwell, when I was with the Dodgers, and he was with the Cincinnati Reds, and I was with the Pirates also. And he was the toughest pitcher I ever faced. You know, the World Series catch I made in 1947, which is well remembered, as you know. There's been many things written about it and showed so many times on TV and during World Series times. But I guess it was because it happened in the World Series and at a crucial point and against a great team and against the great ball player as Joe DiMaggio. Why, the catch will probably always be remembered. But there's many things that happen in baseball. I know I had a great thrill out of hitting a grand slam home run when I was in the minor leagues. And, you know, I've stole bases. crucial times. I stole a base in the World Series, in the same World Series, in 1947 World Series, when Bill Bevins was going for a no-hitter. And I stole second base. I went in and run for Carl Ferrillo, and he had us 8 1/3 innings, I think it was. He had a no-hitter going against the against us, against the Dodgers, and I stole second base, and then they walked Pete Reiser, and then Cookie Lavagetta, you know, pinched hit for Eddie Stanky, and the rest was history. As you know, Cookie Lavagetta doubled off the right field wall, and we went on to win the ball game. You know, very few ball players that get a chance to play in the World Series, and I was one of the fortunate ball players coming from a small town of 200 people, and being able to play with the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Brooklyn Dodgers, and make it all the way to the World Series when we, you know, the Dodgers and the Yankees was the Subway Series, and I think it was one of the great series because it went 7 games. The catch I made on DiMaggio it carried us into the 7th game because it saved the 6th game of the World Series, and so it carried us into the 7th game, which we eventually lost. I think it was 5-2 or 4-2, 5-2, and I thought we were going to win that game because we had men on base, and I think we had 2 men thrown out the first inning trying to steal second base. But whether you get into a World Series or not, I think baseball is the great American pastime. It's the great game that the people love. They love football also, but I just hope that these high salaries and the bonuses and the delayed payments and everything that these major league ball players are getting today does not ruin baseball. I'm just hoping it will stay around forever. I know my career was short in the big leagues because I run into the wall and busted my shoulder, and that didn't help me any. But I enjoyed it very much. I played 16 years of professional baseball. That's including, you know, the minor leagues and the major leagues. And I had some great years, I think. When I ended up my career, I hit 356 and 350, and so my last 2 years in baseball, which I was here in the California League. And so I've had great years in baseball, whether I played D-ball or A-ball or major leagues. Well, I enjoyed it, and I got to see an awful lot of the country. If it wouldn't have been for baseball, I may have been locked up working in the coal mines. Yes, baseball is a great game, and I hope it's here to stay. I hope I was able to answer most of your questions. It's hard to recall everything that happened back in some 30 years ago, but I hope I was able to answer most of your questions.